Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Amen. Pray. Let me hear you give a good shout for Jesus. Can you do that? Okay. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're family, so we can just don't act too conservative, okay? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're family, and we're so good to be here. Thank you, Paul, again for the invitation to come. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can take your Bibles this morning, and you can turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Luke, chapter 5, this morning. And I want to speak to you this morning on the calling of Peter. The calling of Peter. And when you look at the calling that Jesus had upon this man's life, he didn't even realize the call. How big that call was and how significant that call was. And when you read the scriptures, this is where it talks about Jesus going after him and calling him into the ministry. Look at what the scripture says, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass that as people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered him and said, Master, we have toiled all night and we have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they would come and help them. And they came and they filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at and all that were with him at the catch of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And then Jesus said to Simon, Fear not, from henceforth you shall catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, once again, I ask you for the precious anointing and ministry of your Holy Spirit to have freedom to move and to work in our lives, to draw us closer and to take us deeper into your presence and into your perfect will. I ask you now that you would help me to speak this word, to communicate and articulate this word, that it would be so simple that even a child could understand it and receive it. I pray now for this group of people that are here today. I pray that you speak to their heart and challenge us and convict us, Lord, to draw closer and deeper with you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. The calling of Peter. Now, when I think about the calling of Peter, I see that, as I mentioned, it was a call that was bigger than himself. He never could ever imagine the calling that God had upon his life. And I relate that much to our ministry, to who we are today and why we're here today. I'm here today. Your pastor is here today. Our ministry is here today because God has called this ministry. God has called this ministry and God has raised this ministry for such a time as this. And we have been now in this journey, in this move of God for 50 years. 50 years we just got done celebrating there at our world conference. And it has been a great journey of 50 years. We have experienced tremendous success and tremendous breakthroughs. We have expanded. We have seen growth take place all over the world. And yes, we've had our share of setbacks and different situations, but this ministry continues to grow stronger. It continues to grow, move further, and all because of the calling that God has placed upon this ministry. I'll tell you this, that no human being could have ever created or thought up of a ministry like this. Can you say amen? This ministry was birthed in the heart of God. And we are here today because of the calling of God. Amen? But I really believe that after 50 years of ministry, we still haven't seen anything yet. God has so much more for Victory Outreach International, and that means that God has so much more for you and I that are here today. Amen? Why? Because God has called us. God has called you. Do you know that? God has called you for such a time as this. And the plans and the purposes that God has for each and every one of you, you can't even imagine or dream what God has planned for you. And this is why this message is important, because as God calls us, amen, as God takes us on this journey, it's important that we understand certain principles and certain lessons and certain things so that we can continue in the success and the growth and the expansion that God wants to bring in, not only in our life, but also in our ministry. Amen? So let's take a look at that for a moment, when the calling of God. And let's ask the question, what are some of the things that we can learn that can help perhaps guarantee and continue the success and the growth and the expansion in our life and in our ministry? Now, when I look at what happened here in Luke chapter 5, this was not the first time that Peter ever met Jesus, right? We know that in John chapter 1, verse 40, that was the first introduction that Peter had to Jesus. It was Andrew, Peter's brother, that brought Peter to Jesus and introduced him to Christ. And in that introduction, Jesus already was speaking prophetically into Peter's life. He looked at Peter and he called him Simon, son of Jonah. And then he says, from now on, I'm going to call you Peter, which is interpreted stone or rock or pillar, right? In other words, already he was speaking prophetically into Peter's life that one day, Peter, you're going to be a rock in my church. One day, you're going to be a strong pillar, a strong leader in my movement and in my kingdom. Amen? Already he was speaking prophetically, but somehow Peter didn't catch it. Peter, it went right over Peter's head. For whatever reasons, maybe he still had certain doubts. He had his doubts about who Jesus was. And, you know, remember, Andrew's the one that knew Jesus and brought him to him. So what Peter does, he simply, after that whole experience, goes back to his fishing business. Goes back to life, business as usual. But how many know that when God has a calling upon your life, you can run, but you can't hide? Amen. When he has a calling upon a person's life, let me tell you something, he ain't going to leave you alone. He's going to go after you. Amen. Even if you didn't catch it the first time, amen, listen, he's going to go after you because the plans that he has for you are greater than you can ever imagine or dream. Amen. So he ain't going to let you go that easy, because there's a work for you to do in this world. There's an assignment that he has for you in this city, and therefore he's going to go after you until you see that God has called you into the ministry. Somebody say amen. But Peter didn't catch it the first time, what Jesus was saying. He missed it. Maybe because of doubts still about Jesus. So what Jesus, I believe, wanted to do by going to the sea of Gennesaret, there, right where Peter was, Jesus then needed to get Peter's attention. He needed Peter to be able to see who he was and how he works and how he thinks about Peter's life. And so he goes there to that lake where Peter was after fishing all night long and catching nothing. He comes back to the shore. He's tired. He's hungry. He probably just wants to go home, eat some dinner, and go to bed and try again the next day. But all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. Jesus walks on the scene, and he steps right into Peter's boat. He didn't ask Peter to step in. He just stepped into his boat. And he could have stepped into John's boat. He could have stepped into James' boat. No, he stepped into Peter's boat because he knew exactly who he was going after. And he steps into his boat, and as he's there, he asks Peter, "Now, Peter, can you launch out a little from the land so that I can teach the people?" Now, Peter probably said, "Okay, I'm washing my nets anyway, so I'll let the master teach." So Jesus starts teaching, and when he gets done teaching the people, the Bible says, then he looks at Peter, and then he tells Peter, "Now, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep, and then cast your nets for a catch." Now, that's when Peter stood up and said, "Oh, hold up. Wait a minute, Master. You don't understand. I've been out there all night, and we've caught nothing. We've been fishing, toiling all night long. There is nothing out there, and we've caught nothing." But all of a sudden, something changed Peter's mind. Then he looks at him, and he says, "Nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it." So then they launch out into the deep. They go out there, and Jesus says, "Now cast your net for a catch." And there, Peter, probably just doing it just to please the master, gets his net, throws out that net. But when he throws out that net, all of a sudden, there's a multitude of fishes that come into that net. Then he starts to pull that net in. There were so many fish that he couldn't do it by himself. He signaled for his partners to come and help him. James and John came, and together they began to bring in the great multitude of fish. There's so many fish, the boat began to sink. And at that moment, Peter began to recognize who Jesus was. At that moment, he began to recognize who was actually standing in his presence, standing in his boat. That deity was actually standing in his very presence, that he had to fall on his knees and repent before God and ask him to depart because he was a sinful man. But Jesus says, "No, Peter, I've called you. Fear not. Follow me. From now on, you're going to be a fisher of men." The calling of Peter upon his life. Now, when the call of God comes, there are certain things that are very important that we must learn. Because when this call comes, we're going to face a lot of different things. Amen? In the ministry. How many here tonight or this morning feel that you're called of God? Let me see your hands. And those of you that didn't raise your hands, you just don't know it yet. Because every one of us is called to something. Every one of us has been called to salvation. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? We're all called to salvation, right? But then every one of us has a specific call upon our life. You were created for something special, right? You were fearfully, wonderfully created by God. Right? And there's a special assignment that God has for you in this earth. Every one of us. We were called. Listen, God tells us that we were called for a purpose, right? We were called for a purpose, and God has a plan for your life. And in this purpose, in this call, we're going to face some things. We're going to experience some things. And there's some lessons to learn. And we can draw from Peter's call and learn some lessons that's going to help us secure our growth, our success, and expansion in the ministry. Are you ready this morning? First of all, number one, the first lesson that we can learn from this passage of scripture about Peter's call is this, that in the call, when God calls you, you're going to have to learn to accept your limitations. You're going to have to learn to accept your limitations. In other words, listen, Peter was fishing all night long, toiling, working all night long, and he still came up empty-handed. Now, here's an expert fisherman. Here's a man that had been fishing probably most of his life. But yet, in spite of his expertise, in spite of all his experience, all his know-how, he still came up empty, right? And I believe God allowed that to happen that day because God wanted to show Peter, hey, listen, Peter, without me, you're limited. Without me, you could only go so far. Amen? Without me, you could only do so much. Peter, James, and John did all they knew to do, used all their experience, expertise, and still came up empty. Peter and James and John, when they came back, they were almost ready to quit, just to go home, call it a day. But they didn't. And thank God they didn't, because they experienced the biggest catch of their life. Amen? They witnessed the biggest miracle of their life. Now, the point is this. Sometimes God will allow you to exhaust yourself, to go as far as you can go, to do as much as you can do, to teach us that in life and ministry, we are limited. But God is not limited. Listen, you might be limited, we might be limited in what we can do, but God is unlimited in what he can do. And he'll teach us that. This is why he'll let you go so far. He'll let you go as far as you can go, because he wants you to understand that, listen, without me, you can do nothing. Amen? See, so we ourselves are limited, but God is unlimited. There may be certain things that we might be able to do, but God is more than able to do above and beyond what we could ever imagine or think. You can make your plans for life, but God has his plans for your life. And it's better to follow his plans, amen, and let him order our steps, because when you follow his plans and you walk in his steps, listen, his plans is without fail. You know why? Because God's plan is a perfect plan. God is perfect. Therefore, he has perfect plans. And when you follow his plan, then you're following a plan without fail. Two things happen when we accept our limitations. When you learn to accept your limitations in God, I know this sounds kind of contrary to what we're talking about, but God wants to do big things, but yet we got to learn to accept our limitations, amen. But when you learn how to accept your limitations, amen, you learn that he's unlimited. Two things happen when you accept your limitations. Number one, it keeps you humble. It keeps you humble. You know why God wants to keep us humble? Because of the great things that God is going to do in your life. Because how God is going to elevate some of you. God is going to raise some of you. God is going to empower some of you. God is going to use some of you. Amen. And it's important that when you accept the call of God and you respond to the call of God and God starts to use you, my friend, that you don't forget who it is that's using you. So you have to learn. So then there are times that he'll let you go as far as you can go. And you feel like, I can't go on. It's like I'm hitting a wall. Well, that's when he's showing you you're limited. You're limited, but I'm unlimited. If you continue to trust me, if you keep me in your boat, you keep me in your ship, you keep me as your partner, then listen, there's unlimited things that we can do together. Somebody say amen. So it keeps you humble. And it keeps you from becoming prideful. Because you realize then, without God, I can do nothing. That is he that works in me and through me, not of myself. So when God begins to use you, when you boast in the Lord. You give God the glory. You give God the glory. Amen? So you learn to accept your limitations. And when you learn to accept your limitations, not only does it keep you humble, but it also keeps you from quitting. It keeps you from quitting. Because we have learned that when we're at our end, when you go as far as you can go, when you're at your end, he's just beginning. When you find yourself at your end, that's when God just begins. See, that's when he takes over. See, Peter, James, and John were ready to quit. They're ready to go home. But they didn't. And that's when Jesus stepped in. That's when Jesus took over, and that's when the blessing came. That's when the breakthrough comes. You see, when you find yourself at the end of your rope, you find yourself at your end, that's when people, that's not the time to quit. That's not the time to question God and say, well, you see, it's not working. Nothing's happening. I'm doing everything I can do. I'm working hard. I'm praying. I'm going to church. I'm fasting. I'm giving my money. And it seems like I'm not seeing the results. I'm not seeing the breakthrough. I'm not seeing what they say is going to happen. And you want to quit. No, don't quit. See, you have to, this is what I'm talking about. You have to learn that when you get to that point, when you're at your end, that's when God steps in, and that's when God takes over, and that's when the breakthrough comes. So you learn then not to quit. Someone said these words, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close to success they were when they gave up. You can't quit. There are no shortcuts to what God wants to do in your life. And I'm telling you this right now, that you can't allow yourself to be satisfied or to settle with just the little things of life, the little things of ministry. God has big things for you. God has greater things for you. Amen. You might start in the little, but God don't want us to stay in the little. Right? When I came to Christ, I didn't even have a little. There wasn't even a little I could say I had. Amen. I didn't have nothing. Amen. But when I came to God, it's the little things. You know, when he started working, and if you can be faithful in the little things, then he's able to entrust you with much more. Amen. But you can't quit. There are no shortcuts to this kind of breakthrough and miracle working power of God. The Bible says this. He says in Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead to plenty. But everyone who is hasty meaning quick. See, those that are quick to give up, it'll lead to poverty. You're never going to get anywhere. Amen. How many know you can't quit? If God has called you, then so be it. Answer the call. Amen. Answer the call. Number two, not only should we accept our limitations, but we also need to trust God. We need to trust Jesus. Trust his word. Trust his word. I pray that you hear the voice behind the voice this morning. Trust the word. What happened next is that Jesus told Peter after they were in the little, he said, now I want you to launch out into the deep. I want you to launch out into the deep and let down your nets. That was the word of the Lord to Peter. Peter, at first, didn't accept it. He said, wait a minute, Lord. I've been fishing all night long. We've been working all night long, and we've caught nothing. But then he changed. He said, nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. Nevertheless, at your word, amen, I'll do it. So he trusted the word of God. He went out, maybe whether he realized it or not, by faith he went out, he was obedient, amen, and he launched out that. Then Jesus said, now let down your nets. Now, listen. When it comes to trusting God and trusting Jesus and trusting his word, sometimes, or should I say many times, it doesn't make sense. The things that God asks us to do when you answer the call, many times what he asks us to do just don't make sense. It don't make sense to the world. It don't make sense to family members and friends. It don't even make sense to you sometimes. Wait a minute. I have a good paying job. I make good money. I'm real nice and secure here. But you want me to leave it all so I can answer the call? To others, that won't make sense. Amen? To answer the call. To respond. And sometimes God asks you to do some of the most wildest, craziest things. But you got to trust him. Why? Because you're called. See, when you're called of God, there is no other options. See, we live in a world today, in a generation today, that there's many options. And I really believe that there's many people today that God is calling, and they have a hard time answering that call because they're because of all the options. Right? Better job, better education, better this, better that. And they settle for where they're at rather than answering the call. But the call of God is something that tells you there is no other option. And this is something that I'm trying to convey to the young generation, the now generation that are coming in and say, look, answer the call of God. This is a calling. If God has called you to do this, then so be it. There is no other option. All only option is to trust him. Even if it doesn't make sense, amen? Listen, just go for it and watch and see what God is going to do in your life. Hallelujah. Now look at this. It's very easy how Peter had a hard time at first because probably, first of all, he's looking at who's asking him to do this. Now here's a ex-carpenter that shows up, steps in his boat, and now he's asking a fisherman how to do his business. Now we know that don't make sense, right? An ex-carpenter telling a fisherman how to do his business. It's like somebody coming to you when you know you're gifted, you know what you know how to do, and they're gifted in another way, and they're trying to tell you how to do what you do, but what you know how to do. It's like me, I was telling the first service, like me when I'm a mechanic, like when my car breaks down on the freeway, I pull over. I'm not a mechanic. I don't know what to do. I don't have the slightest thing of what to do. But what I do is I go and get out of the car, open up the hood, and just look. That's what you do too, right? I don't know what I'm looking for, but I know something's wrong in there. And if I call the mechanic and come, and if I try and tell him, well, maybe it's this and you should try this, I would be a fool. Because I don't know nothing about being a mechanic. I'm a preacher. Now, here's a preacher trying to tell a mechanic how to fix a car. That don't make sense. And maybe that's what Peter might have. Here's the next carpenter. So sometimes things just don't make sense when it comes to the call. But something about Jesus, something about his words caused Peter to change, to respond. Sometimes God is going to ask us to do something that just don't make sense. But the question is, are we willing to take the risk? Are you willing to take the risk? Are you willing to trust Jesus? Even if it doesn't make sense, when the call comes upon your life, when he's asking you to respond to the call, it might not make sense to you. It might not make sense to your wife, your husband, family, friends, neighbors, your job, whatever. But are you willing to take the risk? Are you willing to trust Jesus? Because all through the Bible, before there was the miraculous move of God, the miracle working power of God, it always started with something that didn't make sense. Like feeding 5,000 plus people with 5 barley loaves of bread and 2 small fish. That didn't make sense. Or how about Elijah telling the woman to give him a cake, the cake. Let him eat the cake first. Amen. The cake that they all that's all they had that they were going to eat and die. That didn't make sense. That sounded kind of cold. Cruel. Oh, but little did she know that God was setting her up for the miraculous miracle of provision in her life. Amen? Because she had a need. It didn't make sense, but she trusted God. All through the Bible, you find these different instances where things didn't make sense when God asked them to do something. So learn and understand that in the call, sometimes, amen, things are just not going to make sense, but are you willing to trust him? Are you willing to launch out anyway? Are you willing to go deeper into deeper waters anyway? Are you willing to get out of that comfort zone? Are you willing to get out of that shallow area, the little? Remember he said, pull out a little. That's where the shallow area is, where you can still touch the ground, where you can still see the ground. Amen? How many know that's where people like to stay, right there? They answer the call, but only so far, right? They answer the call, but as long as they can still touch the ground, as long as they can still see the bottom, amen, that's as far as they'll go. But unless you're willing to go deeper, unless you're willing to launch out into the deep, you're never going to see the wonders of God, the miracles of God, everything, the fullness of God that God has for your life staying stuck in the little. Or in the shallow. Listen, if you want to see God for who he is and your call for what it is, then you got to go deeper. You got to go into deeper waters. It all depends upon the size of the miracle that you're looking for, the breakthrough that you're looking for. How far, how deep are you willing to go? Think about it. What if Peter would have told Jesus, this is as far as I'm going to go, Pete, Jesus. I let you use my boat, let you come out a little bit to teach the people. This is as far as I'm going to go. What if he would have done that? What if Peter would have said, this is as far as I'm going to go. I'm tired, I'm hungry, amen, I'm fatigued, I just want to go home. Huh? What if Peter would have responded that way? You know what happened? Peter would have still went home empty-handed, right? And the only thing he would have went home with was a good sermon. That's it. And isn't it sad today that so many believers that come to church Sunday after Sunday, week after week, month after month, they come and they go home empty-handed. Only thing they go home with is a good sermon. But they never get their breakthrough. They never see the fullness of God. They never see the miracles of God in their life. They never see what God has for them and what God has in store for them. Why? Because they're stuck in the shallow. They're stuck in the little. When God is saying, I want you to go deeper. Go into the deep. Launch out into the deep and see the wonders I have for you. And because he was willing to go deeper and trust Jesus and his word, Peter experienced more than he could ever imagine or dream for. What about you here this morning? Don't you want to experience all that God has for you? The fullness of God, the fullness of the call. And you've got to launch out deeper, right? If you want to be successful in life or ministry, sometimes you just got to take the risk. You got to take the risk. Even if it don't make sense, go for it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Psalms 107, 23, my favorite scripture, he says this, those that do business in deep waters, these shall see the wonders of God. You're never going to see the wonders of God unless you go into the deep where you can't see the ground. Where you can't feel the ground. You have to trust God. Oh, that's when you see the glory of God. That's when the glory of God is revealed to you. Number three. Third lesson we can learn with this call of Peter is that we have to learn how to persevere through disappointments and fatigue. Because in the ministry, in answering the call, there's going to be times that you're going to get weary. You're going to get tired. You're going to feel fatigue. Right? You're going to work hard for God. God is going to ask certain things of you. And there are times that you're going to go through stuff. But that is a time that you need to learn how to persevere and stick in there no matter what. Peter was tired. They were burnt out. Working all night, fishing all night, tired, hungry, just wanted to go home. Then Jesus comes and asks him, no, you're not going to go home. Launch out into the deep. Lord, we've been working all night. But nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. In other words, they were tired but still willing to try again. They were frustrated and disappointed, but they were still willing to do it again. And thank God they did, because then all of a sudden they witnessed and experienced the biggest, baddest miracle of their lifetime. How many know sometimes, church, listen, sometimes you just got to go one more time. Sometimes you just got to push a little bit harder. Can you say amen? When you're at that point of fatigue and frustration, and you're tired, you've been working hard, you're laboring, you're working, you're pushing, and sometimes you don't see the results, you don't see the success, and you're ready almost to quit, almost to give up. No, don't quit. Sometimes you just got to go for it one more time. Sometimes you just got to try one more time. Just one time, that one more push, one more time brings that miracle, that breakthrough within your life. Don't give up. Oh, what the power of faith is able to do when one responds to the word of God. The Bible says in Romans 5:5, hope does not disappoint. In Galatians 6:9, he says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. So in order to receive that kind of breakthrough, that kind of miracle, that kind of catch, you got to persevere through all your disappointments and fatigue. And number four, It's going to take cooperation. You can't do this by yourself. It's going to take teamwork, cooperation. When you look at this story, Peter would have never been able to pull in that great catch, that multitude of fish by himself, without the cooperation with James and John. See, Jesus is able to bring you so far. Jesus is able to bring the fish to the net and to the boat. But it's going to take all of us working together in cooperation in order to bring it in. If Peter would have not called his partners to come, and if his partners did not respond, their catch would have been limited. Without the cooperation of James and John, Peter would have been limited in this catch, in this miracle. So to receive this kind of catch, this kind of harvest, this kind of breakthrough, it's going to take teamwork. It's going to take us working together. It's going to take the cooperation of every one of us here to see what God wants to do in Manchester for his honor and his glory. Somebody say amen. We cannot even imagine or see. I can see a glimpse. I can only sense and feel what God wants to do. But it's not going to happen. The pastors can see it. They can preach it. They can see it. But it's not going to happen by themselves. But the way that this great harvest is going to happen is when everyone is working together, cooperating together. Amen. That's when we're going to see the breakthrough. See, sometimes the church, or many times the church, is limited from receiving this kind of harvest because of a lack of cooperation. The Bible tells in Ephesians 4 that the growth and the health of the church depends upon the cooperation of every member. Every member doing its share. Every member taking their gift and using it for God's glory and God's pleasure. That's when things begin to happen in the church. When everyone is cooperating, everyone is working together. God has gifted you. You have a place. I have been taught to look at every individual as a person gift to the church. Everyone with potential. And how many know you get all kinds of different people that come to church, right? You get all kinds of different people and all kinds of different shapes, sizes, and all kinds of colors and all kinds of, you know, yeah. But I've been taught to look at every individual as one with potential. No matter how they think or look or whatever, listen, God sent them. They are a person gift to the church. They have a place. They have something to offer. They have a gift to contribute. Amen. And when everyone is doing their share, using their gift, something dynamic, something powerful begins to happen. There's an anointing that begins to flow from heaven where God begins to command his blessing upon that church. And pretty soon, there is a harvest. There is a breakthrough that begins to take place that I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared. To God be the glory. See, when we work together, that's when the blessing comes. That's when success happens. Then we could all rejoice because we all shared in the work. Amen? And number five, another key lesson was his obedience. His obedience. His obedience was a key. I'm not sure if he really believed, but he was obedient. I know he was obedient. He did it anyway. He took the risk. Nevertheless, I let down the net. See, you have to learn how to listen, trust, and obey. If you want to see God the way God is, how he wants. You got to learn to listen, trust, and obey. And when they did, they experienced that God was able to give them more than they could ever ask or imagine. The catch was greater than they ever expected because of their obedience. How many ever read that scripture in Ephesians 3:20 that says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us." That word exceedingly means over and above, exceeding in number and measure. Abundantly meaning beyond measure. When it comes to quantity, superabundant. Quality, superior above all. And because of these principles, they were able to learn and experience that by partnering together with Jesus, together he was able to do above and beyond measure what they could ever imagine or dream. That's what the Bible says. It wasn't just a number of fish. It was a great number, a multitude of fish. That's how God works. Amen. He don't just operate in the little. He operates in the greatness, in the abundance. And we as God's people need to see that that's how God works. That's who he is. And therefore, I have to think like my daddy. I'm a king's kid. I got to think like a king. Amen. How many know kings think differently? Right? And therefore, we have to start thinking differently if we want to see what God has for us in this church, in this city. To God be the glory. Somebody give God a praise. So when you partner with Christ, don't just expect a breakthrough. Expect a great breakthrough. When you partner together with Christ, don't just expect a miracle. Expect a great miracle. No, when you partner with God, don't just expect a harvest. Expect a great harvest. Therefore, as a church, we need to get ready for that which God has for us. Are you ready, Victory Outreach Manchester? Are you ready for what God has for this church? Are you ready for what God has for you? Then are you ready to take the risk? Are you ready to answer the call? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Peter answered the call. He answered the call because he realized who was calling him. That first introduction, he was just a man of God. But after this experience, this is why he had to have that experience. He had to have that experience. He had to see God, Jesus, for who he was. And through this great catch, what did the Bible says? After he seen it, he was astonished. He was blown away. Because he knew it was a miracle. He knew what he just witnessed was beyond him. What he just seen with his very own eyes, he knew that he would have never been able to do for himself. And therefore, he began to recognize the Son of God, the deity, was standing right in his presence. And he humbled himself. I'm not worthy of this call. I'm not worthy of this miracle. I'm not worthy to even be in your presence, Lord. I'm a sinful man. But Jesus did not reject him. Jesus knew Peter. Jesus knew all about Peter. Peter was a fisherman. I could imagine how his vocabulary was. He was a sinful man. Jesus knew all about him. He knew his sinfulness. He knew where he'd been. He knew what he's done. But he did not reject him. In fact, he told Peter, "Don't be afraid." What's the opposite of fear? Faith. But just have faith. Don't be afraid, Peter. Just trust me. And follow me. From now on, you're going to be a fisher of men. I've called you to be a fisher of men. I've called you into the ministry. And the Bible says that when they came back, they forsook all. They made the commitment to follow Jesus. What about you here this morning? Deity was in our presence. God Almighty is here this morning. And it's God that is calling you because he has plans for you. In the midst of your pain, in the midst of your frustration, in the midst of what you're going through, in the midst of your inadequacies, in the midst of even your sin, God's still calling you. He's saying, don't be afraid. Just trust me. Follow me. And this is what you will become. You will become something bigger and greater than you can ever imagine or dream. God has a history of turning losers into winners, raising out of the ashes something beautiful for his pleasure, for his will, and for his purpose. And that's what God wants to do in your life here today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God is speaking to someone here today. God is calling someone here today. God is separating some people here today. Don't be afraid. Just have faith. Don't be afraid. Just trust him. He's asking some of you, even some of you that answered the call. Maybe you can relate to Peter. You've been working. You've been laboring. Maybe you've been a little discouraged lately, a little fatigue, a little burnt out maybe. Well, don't give up. Persevere, stick in there. Help is on the way. Your breakthrough's around the corner. You hang in there, son. You hang in there. God is ready to move. Just push a little bit more. Just push a little bit more. Just go a little bit deeper. You watch what God is going to do. I'm going to open up these altars here this morning. I'm going to ask you to come. Take that walk of faith. I'm going to ask you to step out into the deep. Is that okay? To step out into the deep today and see what God is going to do in your life, in your marriage, with your children, with your family, with your ministry. I'm going to ask you to step out.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.